Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you, and we are back with episode 29.
Woohoo!
This is kind of an interesting topic.
Yeah.
This week. I'm really excited about this one. It spawned partly from an article we read.
Right.
And partly from conversations that we had after last week's episode.
Right. And it's something I've been thinking about a little bit, too, for a while.
Yeah. So. The long and short of it is, last week, if you'll recall, we did the news.
The news!
It was a news show.
Yes.
Great news show. You should go check it. The best! It was the best news show. No. I don't do a good Donald Trump.
No.
That's probably a good thing. But yes, we did the news, but at the end of it, we did a brief interlude about kid-friendly horror.
Right.
About how else are we going to get the next generation of horror fanatics queued up to become haunters, to go to haunted houses, to be a part of our industry as customers, actors, owners, etc.
Right.
How is it going to happen? And it was a pretty interesting topic. We talked about the movie Krampus. We talked about a lot of films that were kid-friendly.
Right.
But were still pretty solid horror films.
Yeah.
So one of the things we started talking about privately was how, for me, my intro to horror wasn't a horror film.
No.
It was a horror music video.
I think we actually did mention it on the last
podcast. We mentioned
it,
like, briefly in the podcast. Yeah. It made a brief mention. We talked about it between us two. And the long and short of it is, we wanted to talk about horror and music videos. And
right.
What lessons haunters can pull from various bands. So this is going to be an interesting show notes to compile.
Yeah.
Because, A, I'm going to have to do the usual show notes, but also provide some YouTube links, hopefully, to some of these music videos so you can check them out.
Right. And when pulling these together, tried to steer away from bands that were known specifically as horror genre and targeted more of pop bands, you know, things that would appeal to teenagers and kids more than
because if they're
like
already
the hardcore rock bands.
If they're already a horror fan.
Right.
We've got them already in the circle to a degree.
Exactly.
You know, the goth kids, so to speak.
Yeah. If they're wearing black and looking sad or happy or whatever.
You know, but the point remains. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that some this week. Lessons learned and why these videos appeal to the kids and what we can learn from it as an industry.
Yeah.
But first, we have conference reminders as usual, i.e. always.
Yay.
Oh, yay. I know. Don't hide your...
Well, I'm only... So enthusiastic because we don't get to go to many.
I know. We're limited geographically is our biggest problem.
I know.
I mean, considering I would love to go to like all of these.
Yeah.
But they are in like faraway lands and distant moons and so forth.
Yeah.
And we have yet to invent teleportation, so.
Yeah, I know.
It's a problem. But anyway, so do you want me to begin the conference reminders this week? I think you
sure.
began last week.
I did.
All right, so on that note, we kick off with Chicago Frights, July 29th through 31st at Orland Park, Illinois, at the Giorgio's Quality Inn and Suites. I keep wanting to pronounce that Cheerios for some reason.
Yeah. It's because it's close.
It looks super close in the show notes. You can find out more at ChicagoFrights.com, as we are apt and quick to remind people. This is kind of the sister convention to HauntCon.
Right.
Right, so lots of the same people involved with that.
And actually, there is a Haunt Topic just released their weekly podcast where they interviewed Leonard Pickle about this conference coming up.
So check that out at HauntTopic.com. That's Haunt Topic with two T's. Don't get suckered in to going to that one T version. That lowly one T to me.
You want the two pluses.
Only two T's will do here, people. Only two. Okay.
All right. And then next we have Haunt Fair, August 6th through 7th. Clarion Hotel, Ranconcoma?
Ranconcoma. Yeah, good
guess. We really need to look that up. New York. And that's haunt-fair.com.
And it's the weird F-A-I-R-E spelling of fair, to be clear. It's not like the state fair.
Yes, if it
it's
had
a ring
an
fair.
It would be like fairy.
Yeah, exactly.
But like the fancy spelling of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the kiddie version, the grown-up version.
Yeah, it's
the retro version.
FAIRE.com. Yes.
They're going to have a fashion show, car show, art show, and more. And haunted tour bus of Long Island, not a haunt tour.
Yeah, this is to be clear here. This is not a tour of a haunted attraction. This is a bus that takes you to look at haunted places on Long Island. I'm going to assume that includes the Amityville Horror House.
Yes.
And if you take a haunt tour of Long Island and don't go there, I'd be rather cross.
I would question your ability to talk about haunted places.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Your credibility just went out the window if you did that.
Now, that is great if you are on the East Coast.
Right.
But if you're a West Coast, August 6th and 7th, the exact same days, at the Pasadena Convention Center. It's Scare LA. You can learn more at scarela.com. And Elvira is hosting this. They have other celebrities there as well. Looks like a great, fun time, all things horror and haunting related.
Right. And then next up, Mask Fest, September 9th through 11th at the Marriott Indianapolis East at maskfest.com. Remember, guys, since this is so close to Halloween, when you're trying on those masks, make sure that, you know, they're wiped down or something, because that's a good way to spread germs.
Don't want anyone sick. Yeah, this is for people that maybe are done early with their Halloween prep.
Yeah.
After haunt season ends on November 11th through 12th, you have the Legendary Haunt Tour at Pittsburgh. Hotel still TBA. It's done by the same people who do Trans World and all those and all related things there. They will be visiting the Scare House and the 100 Acres Manor. You can learn more at Legendary Haunt Tour. Once again, two T's.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is a thing in our industry.
It's not an industry thing.
It must be.
Like an industry thing.
It must be. LegendaryHauntTour.com. Two T's. Don't screw that one up. Remember, no one T's allowed in this here club.
Rawr.
All right. That brings us to the topic du jour.
Yes.
Horror in music videos. Why on God's earth is this important?
Oh, well, let's just get into it then.
All right. Well, I mean, and we talked about it in the intro.
Right.
This is the intro to horror for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A, it's kid friendly.
Yes.
B, it is short. It is easily consumable. And I was thinking about it. This is incredibly important in 2016 because movies and so forth are less in favor as shorter media.
Right.
Your YouTube videos, your you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Your bite-sized consumption, if you will. This fits in with that.
Yes, it does.
And we talked about how my intro to horror and haunting and all things related was Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yes.
Vincent Price's monologue in that still, at 35 years old, sends shivers up my spine.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things I have ever heard for a scare. But yeah, it's an intro to horror. For many people, it might be their first, you know, experience with anything horror, haunt related.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there's also currently, we had mentioned on the last podcast that we were at the Panic at the Disco concert with our teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And they love them. And they have several horror-themed music videos right now, including The Emperor's New Clothes and Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which go into practical effects, which are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a mixture
of practical and digital. Most
and
of
digital.
Those. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the makeup's practical, but a lot of the scenery is digital.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about Thriller and Panic at the Disco is they both had behind-the-scenes videos.
Right.
And I actually remember sitting there as a kid after Thriller aired, like one of the first times it aired.
Right.
Sitting there afterward and watching the whole 30 minutes of how they made it. And it was so interesting to hear how low-budget some of the coolest effects were.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gets you in a mindset of, hey, I could do that.
Like, I mean, I remember from the Thriller how to do it. And I remember that one better than the Panic one.
Right.
You know, I've seen it more recently. I've seen the Thriller one like 100 times. And I remember, like, the clothes from the zombies.
Right.
I remember thinking when I'm watching the video, man, those clothes are cool. They look so torn and messed up and all that.
Right.
And they got the costume designer on there and said, oh, yeah, I just buried him in my backyard and ran a garden weasel. Remember the garden weasel? I think the little spikes he ran over the ground. Ran the garden weasel over it a few times and they came out perfect. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then, like, the zombie that, like, had the black coming out of its mouth. And,
right.
Was like, and I remember thinking, that was so cool, and I couldn't figure out how they did. And then they talked about it, just they made the guy hold a mouthful of Indian ink.
Oh, God.
Which, A, is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was not the best way. There are better ways to do that now.
Yes, I think we have better ways now.
You could have just done food coloring.
Yeah, but the point is, it's like you can get these amazing effects without much effort or skill. Just some creativity.
Right.
And that's what you learn from these behind-the-scenes things.
Yeah, you definitely can. I did look to see if that was available on Can I Stream It. It looks like it may be available for a purchase download.
You can get it somewhere.
Yeah, but it's actually, wasn't obviously available.
It's very interesting. It's called The Making of Thriller.
Yeah.
You gotta realize, I was 3 years old when Thriller was released. I'm just realizing
Jesus.
That. God, I feel... Yeah. I don't know if that makes me feel old or young to say that.
I know.
That's a weird feeling. I was 3 years old when Thriller was released, and I remember watching it in kindergarten. So I first saw it pretty soon after its release, comparatively.
Right.
Yeah, that was like my first intro into it. And I remember my dad using it to set me up for his own horror stories and his own attempts to scare me afterward.
Right.
So, but yes, it plays that all-important introduction role. It gets people thinking about it, and especially when they do those behind-the-scenes things, so you can throw back the curtain and look at how the magic was made.
Right.
It's always so fascinating. Even in like the Panic at the Disco one, some of the effects are just so stupid simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of it's just, with that one, a lot of it is just makeup tricks,
Mm-hmm.
But they look cool, and you see the process and how long this stuff takes to do.
Yeah, and
how long it takes,
and then you see some of the flip side, too, which is some of the stuff that looks simple takes forever.
Yeah.
Like in the Thriller one, going back to that, they had the transformation from Michael Jackson to a werewolf.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
It looks simple.
Yeah.
Like you just throw him on a mask and dust it on.
Yeah.
But no. It's a really complicated makeup process that took days to complete.
Right.
Meanwhile, the entire costume of the zombies was done practically in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just saying. It's not necessarily obvious where the work goes.
Yeah.
Now, Source of Power by Skrillex.
Well, actually, it's... Sorry, I messed up that note.
Okay, sorry.
It's called The First Year of Equinox.
Okay, First Year of Equinox. Okay,
but
sorry.
The music video gives the power to kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a cool video. I had not listened to a Skrillex song before.
Neither have I. That's why I screwed up the title so badly.
Sorry. That was my fault.
I see what you were doing in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally screwed that up. Anyways.
Yeah. But, no, basically, that's a cool little video. If you haven't seen it, I pulled up a list, and I should mention the list that I referenced, because I did pull some new videos out of it. It was on horrornews.net, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a link in the doobly.
Yeah, well, but one of the things I found interesting about that particular video...
Right.
Because I watched it at your request. There's pretty much no other way you're going to get me to watch a Skrillex video. No,
well, that's the only way that I watched it was because it was on a horror list.
Exactly. What I found interesting about it was it looked at horror from, like you said, a position of power.
Right.
We usually think about horror as making people powerless.
Right.
This flips the story on its head where the powerless become the empowered.
Right.
And it's a very strange feeling. It's still definitely horror.
Yeah. Yeah, that monster with the long, creepy fingers.
Yeah. It's still definitely horror, but it's a very, very different mindset.
Right.
And I think it'd be interesting to find some way to play with that in a haunted attraction, if there is a way. It's something to check out and get the gears turning on a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we think haunters can learn from this, from these videos? And not just these, but the other we're about to talk about later as we go through.
Okay, so real quick, I had to tell a story in a short amount of time.
Yeah, these videos have between 3 and 5 minutes.
Right.
And they have the full attention, the full spectrum of audio and visual.
Right.
They choose how people look and what people look at every millisecond. They're in control. They still struggle to tell a story. And one thing I've noticed going through these videos is that they're all telling a simple story.
Yes, which is important.
Yes. I mean, we've been to haunted attractions where it's like, and the seventh seal opened, 9 demons came forth, and their names were, and like, these were their superpowers, and it's like fucking Pokemon, man.
It goes back to English class and just KISS, you know? Keep it simple, stupid. You know?
It's like, I'm not collecting these guys, okay?
Yeah.
I don't get cards, really.
Yeah.
I'm not going home and playing my game with this.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. You know, the most effective haunts, when it comes to storytelling, find a simple story, and then they just tell it, and they tell it straight through.
Right.
And, you know, a simple story that's set up well can lead to a lot of variety.
Right.
I mean, you can have serial killers who killed in many different inventive ways.
Right.
You can have, you know, these, you know, demons and so forth that appear at different times and places.
Yeah.
You can have a variety with a simple story as long as you use your imagination.
Right.
And just make sure that your story gives you those opportunities.
Right.
But yeah, my God, man, don't try to.
Right, and with the three videos we've talked about so far,
yeah,
Thriller, it's basically Michael Jackson's a werewolf zombie character.
Well, yeah, Michael Jackson. Actually, it's two stories. First is the Michael Jackson's a werewolf, and then it's like, oh, that was a movie. Now he's a zombie.
Yes, now he's actually a zombie on a date with a girl, and
that's much better. Drastic improvement for the girl.
Yes. Yeah, now he just wants her for her brains. You know, much better.
Much better.
Panic is actually the third in a series of videos where he dies at the end and goes to hell. And turns into a big demon guy, which is pretty cool. And in the Skrillex one, it's a child who's being followed by what's obviously an older or a middle-aged man with not good intentions.
Yeah, implied pedophilia here.
Yes. And she basically flips it and kicks his
kicks his butt spectrally?
Yes. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
And
so those are, you know, you can even describe them in 1 to 2 sentences.
Yeah, it's super simple and super compelling plots at the same time.
Right.
Now, one of the things that these stories do kind of cave into to a degree, and I think haunt stories do as well, oftentimes out of necessity, is stereotyping.
Mm-hmm.
All three of the stories we just described have some degree of stereotyping involved.
Right.
Michael, Thriller, all about the damsel in distress.
Right.
In both stories.
Yes.
And in both cases, she's pretty much the stereotypical damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Good at screaming and running and fainting after. It's
yeah.
Not very good for the girl. Panic at the Disco, you have a fairly stereotypical party guy.
Yeah.
He plays the role of that.
Right.
And
his Skrillex demon costume is very stereotypical with big horns and.
And in the Skrillex one, you have the very stereotypical pedophile character.
Right.
I mean, if you just picture a pedophile and stop, you're done.
You're done.
Mission accomplished.
That's good.
You're good. You're there.
Yeah.
That's what they look like.
Right.
So, yeah, there's an element of stereotyping because you need to be able to have those stock characters in the story. And sometimes that's a necessity.
Right.
You know, so make sure your stereotypes are not offensive.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. I'd recommend not using, like, racial stereotypes, but some degree of stereotyping can help tell the story. Because you say, you know, damsel in distress character, yeah, I may think it's kitschy, I may think it's paper thin, but I immediately know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great way to get the point across and move on.
It is.
Now, practical effects is another thing all these videos have in common.
Right.
And it's something that we, as an industry, can definitely learn from.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there's more and more inclusion of digital effects in haunts.
Right.
But right now, and this seems to be probably true of everywhere but Disney, the digital effects and the practical effects are completely separate from one another.
Right. And that, you know, and I think of that as looking at movies that were made a long time ago, ones that were made with digital effects versus ones that were made with practical effects and how well they hold up.
Yeah.
The practical effects hold up better. They just do.
Yeah, go back and watch the original Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was done with a combination of digital and practical effects, but they heavily minimized the digital effects in it.
Right.
And nearly all of the best scenes in it were practical effect done.
Yeah.
And that is because they did so few digital effects. They really focused on them and made sure that they looked really good.
Yeah. Well, it's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
The original ones hold up.
Yeah, the original ones look better than the newer, not the newest one.
Right.
But the trilogy no one likes, okay?
Yeah.
The prequel trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it goes back to that switch between practical and digital. Practical effects hold up extremely well. And you can even see this in old horror movies, too. The old original Halloween and so forth
hold
up extremely well. The old original Nightmares on Elm Street hold up.
Anything Hitchcock.
Anything Hitchcock, of course, is going to hold up well.
Yeah.
And it's partly because of the practical effects. They do not age.
Right. Exactly. As technology gets better and better, your technological effects are going to look like crap compared to what's coming.
And not only that, but, and this is something, like I said, in haunted attractions right now, we have not reached a point, at least in most haunts. I mean, Disney seems to be able to pull this off.
Right.
But we do not have a mix of digital and practical effects. Digital effects work best when they are mixed with and on top of practical effects.
Yeah.
You watch a movie like Mad Max Fury Road, the new Mad Max.
Right.
And you see how they use digital effects. You see the digital effects are used to supplement some very heavy practical effects.
Right.
Like, those cars and stuff are real.
Yeah.
And the canyons might be added in digitally.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what show I was watching, but there was a show that it had a burned victim.
Mm-hmm.
And the burned scarring was a practical effect. But all the cracks inside of the ashy-looking character were digital effects. So it looked like they were still on fire underneath the crusty skin. And it was awesome.
Well, one of my favorite examples was in Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Deadpool, of course, Ryan Reynolds is in the costume.
Yeah.
That's a practical effect.
Yes.
He's actually in the goddamn costume. The costume looks awesome. But what they did is they went in digitally and added some eye expression. It's very subtle.
Yeah.
If you're not really looking at it,
right,
you're not going to see it, but you will pick up on the emotional cues.
Right.
That's another example of overlaying the two.
Yeah.
In Haunting, whatever reason, our digital effects are limited to projections.
Yeah.
To LCD panels.
Yeah.
And a handful of other things.
Maybe we just aren't advanced enough yet.
Honestly, I think it's because these effects are much harder to pull off in an environment like this, because with digital effects in a movie, you point the camera at what you want and you do it all there.
Right.
Where we have to think about 360 degrees.
Well, I mean, I will go back to, you know, one way you can add your digital with a practical effect is pointing your projection at a drop panel.
Yeah.
Because that does merge the two.
Or, like, well, one of the things Disney did was they had in their Haunted Mansion, they had the crystal ball.
Right.
And did a projection into it to make the crystal ball look like it was talking.
Right.
That's combining the two.
Yeah, and I have seen instructions for homeowners on how to do that. So
there are ways you can do it.
I was about to say that we're not Disney. We can't all be Disney. But, yeah, we might be able to with that one.
With that one, I'm just saying there are ways. Of course, now Disney does it a totally different way, is my understanding.
Well, yeah.
Because they're Disney, and of course they're going to move the goalpost.
They've got better ways, yeah.
But anyways, moving on.
Okay.
So, themes.
Yeah. They also pick up very simple themes,
mm-hmm.
and that fit the story, that are actually part of the story. Because that's one of the things that the music videos do, is that they can't hit you with, you know, smells.
Yeah.
Or, like, damp air or anything like that. Nothing tactile.
Yeah.
All they have are visuals and sound.
Yes.
And if they're able to get you creeped out by just that, that's a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah. And the themes are probably the most powerful part of these in some ways.
Right.
We are understandably and predictably creeped out by, you know, being trapped in a zombie apocalypse scenario.
Right.
We're all spooked by being chased by things.
Yes.
These are ideas that are straightforward, easy to understand, simple themes, and they play well.
Right.
And they play well in a music video, they play well in a haunt, they play well anywhere. But yeah, that selection of these solid themes really does help them out, I think. excuse me. I must be coming down with something. But yeah, so it's very fascinating to watch these videos and see sort of what they're targeting thematically.
Right.
They also all have pretty solid set design, I think.
Yeah. Once again, it's going to be simple set design for the most part. Lots of practical effects, with the exception of the panic, Emperor's New Clothes. But a lot of the times these are very practical set effects on a budget that's not movie level.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like a mini movie for a lot of these.
Yeah, Thriller was.
Yes, Thriller was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they used they just went on location for a lot of those shots.
And the other thing that's interesting about them is they didn't muck about with their setting at all. They usually started in one place and they finished there. Finished in roughly the same place. The same type of place, at least. It had a very similar feel. And the ones that did have a change between locations, and I think Skrillexus was probably the only one on the list that really did that.
Right.
It was for a reason.
Yeah.
They gave you a very clear reason. She went from here to there. They explained what was going on.
Yeah.
Rather than just mysteriously appearing in a new location.
Right, yeah. She
with a very different feel.
Yes. She intentionally led the guy down into a dark alley where she would, where he would feel safe and she wouldn't until they flipped it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it all comes back though to that ability to tell a story in a very short amount of time.
Right.
And we've been harping on this with haunt storytelling ever since, I think, episode one.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can't tell me the rough outline of your haunt story in two sentences...
Yeah.
It's a bad story.
Yeah.
It just is. It's not going to work. You're never going to relay this through the medium.
Right.
And if you can't tell me the story in 30 seconds, your line actors can't communicate it to your audience.
Right. You may be better off without a story.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say you can't do this lush, full story.
Right.
But that's something you put on your site. That's something you put in your YouTube channel.
Yeah, you have to have a 30-second pitch. Elevator pitch.
You have to have a pitch that makes sense to people who came to your haunt, not seeing that YouTube video, not reading that story.
Right.
And they can still pull the story out of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, that to me is absolutely crucial about these. And probably the part I find most fascinating is the storytelling element.
Yeah, I would say Metallica is actually very good at doing that also. Yeah. And they have several that are very closely related to horror.
Yeah, Until It Sleeps in one or two of them, obviously. And Until It Sleeps, I mean, I know Metallica fans like the poo-poo load as an album. But the point remains, it's actually a very artistic, very well-done music video. And it both combines a lot of scenes from classic art. It's built upon a lot of scenes from famous painters in the past. But it uses that setting to tell the story of someone trapped in depression.
Yeah.
And it's very, very clear what's going on. The symbolism is, if anything, heavy-handed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one basically condenses the plot of an entire movie.
Yes.
Into a 5 or 7 minute music video, depending upon what you watch.
Yeah. And that's a rough one to watch because that is...
That may not be one to introduce people to horror.
Yeah, that one's just depressing.
Yeah, but it does get you focused on the internals, the internal monologue, the internal form of horror rather than the external.
Right.
Because that is something that haunted attractions... I mean, as haunted attractions, we kind of have to do that. The horror has to come from without.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to have an exploration of internal horror.
Right.
Maybe there is a way to do that in a haunt. Maybe I'm just not creative enough to think of it, like in the 5 seconds I've had to think about it.
Of internal horror?
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is.
I'm sure there is.
Well, that's part of what we do when we build up suspense.
Yeah.
Because you always want to leave a little bit of space if you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, not always, but if you can, a little bit of space for your customers to relax a little bit. And then start to worry, what was that sound I heard? What's around that corner, you know? I mean, that creates some of that internal distress.
Well, and part of that is it comes up to how you build atmosphere in a haunt or a music video or anything else.
Right.
One thing I think all these videos have in common, pretty much without fail, is none of them start out of the gate with the music or with the scary imagery.
Right.
And this is something I think a lot of haunts kind of screw up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I admit it, I'm probably one of the ones on the list here.
Yeah, we do this.
Well, at least we've been worse in the past about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have such a small space, we kind of have to be somewhat guilty of it.
Yeah.
But the point is, there have been plenty of haunts I've walked right in the front door of, and it's just, bam, it's attack with a drop panel, it's something jumping out at me already.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, dude, I didn't have time to immerse.
Yeah.
You know, most of these videos, I'm trying to think if there's one that I'm wrong about. All of them, they start out on establishing shots. They don't even have the music playing usually. If they do, it's the long, slow intro thing
right.
going on. And the whole goal of this is to sort of, like, settle you into the bathwater before they try to drown you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, and they've got to do a better job of that because they are working with a limited medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we have all of the senses available to us.
Yeah.
They don't.
Well, I mean, but it still would be a nice idea for most haunts to take advantage of this and have the first few rooms, I'm not saying make them scare-free,
no.
But the first segment of the haunt should be more of a creep factor than a hardcore distract and startle affair.
Right.
And the reason is you want people to get immersed in the atmosphere. You want people to feel lost in what's going on.
Yeah.
So that way when the first scare hits, they're not thinking, oh yeah, the exit's 20 feet behind me.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but that immersion really helped. That really helps with immersion, and that immersion really ends up helping the scares be more powerful.
Yeah.
And it increases the impact of, in the video's case, it increases the impact of when things start to accelerating.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's like the first step of building an atmosphere. And the second step, and the one thing you see in like some of these videos, is they keep the same palette, they keep the same sort of general style throughout.
Yeah. Stylistically, they are the same.
They don't change it unless there is a very, very clear reason to.
Right.
Like Thriller changes the minute you realize they're watching a movie.
Yeah.
They go from the classic B-horror to a modern B-horror.
Yes.
So, and that's really, really cool. But they give you an obvious reason for the change.
Right.
A lot of haunts, and this is something that even really good haunts are guilty of, will just have you go from room to room, and each one is so stylistically and emotionally different.
Right.
You're constantly getting de-immersed.
Yeah, you're being pulled out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you get pulled out of the moment, and that ruins it. It really does.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't ruin it, it definitely takes some of the edge off.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I guess ruining's a little strong, but...
But the point remains, it kills some of that immersion.
It does.
So...
Because you have to re-immerse and then come out of it
and then
re-immerse.
And the problem is, you know, like I said, we want to get that immersion right off the bat and sustain it for the entirety of the haunt.
Right.
And that's what these videos have done well, granted over a much shorter period of time.
Right.
Now, there are reasons you might want to pull people out of immersion. For example, the mortuary with its staircases.
Yes.
It has those forced breaks.
Right.
But, and yes, I don't want people immersed in a haunt when they're going down a spiral staircase. That's not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, but there are reasons to pull them out, but they are fewer than far between than most haunts seem to think.
Right.
Also, all these videos, like I said, are less than impractical makeup and effects.
Right.
And
back on the theme topic real quick.
Oh, sorry.
So, no, we're going forward, but
okay.
I'm just back to it. So, some of the other themes that these have are like Uncanny Valley. We've seen videos with Uncanny Valley in
it. Yeah.
Come to Daddy by Aphex Twin is the best example of that, probably.
Yeah, Aphex Twin definitely plays around with that and Come to Daddy. They do it in most of their videos.
Right.
But Come to Daddy is by far the most famous example of it.
Yeah.
I remember watching that first when I was in college.
Yeah, you showed it to me whenever I moved over.
Yeah, this is how you get the girl, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Pro tip.
No, don't do that.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Luckily, she came to me crazy. But yeah, an Uncanny Valley is actually something you can do very, very easily in this medium, in the medium of music videos.
Right.
Because Uncanny Valley is almost purely a visual thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the idea of stuff looks human, but you can tell it's wrong.
Right. Well, another example would be Dresden Dolls.
Yes.
I would say that they play around with the Uncanny Valley because, well, they're dolls.
But they do it in a somewhat more comical way.
Right.
It's a less of a direct route to horror and more of a horror comedy routine.
Yeah.
A vaudevillian type thing.
Exactly.
Which is still cool.
Yeah.
Like Coin-Operated Boy, I think, is the video you're most thinking of there.
Right. Yeah.
When they play around with that. So, yeah, that's a really cool theme, and it's something that we can definitely pull from in our field because, I gotta say, the creepiest rooms and most haunts to me,
yeah,
the doll rooms.
I know.
Son of a bitch. Just, I see a doll room and part of me is like, nope. Done with the shit. I'm out of here. Where's the exit?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just something about that. The Uncanny Valley thing is one of the few things in haunts that just like still unsettles me every time.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for most people in some degree. It's like drop panels, distract and startles. I'm sitting there admiring the tactics more than I am getting scared.
Right.
Like, I mean, once when we were at the Sanitarium, when we were at that haunt tour, and they had that beautiful lineup of the guy on the chain rushing with the bungee, rushing you and then pushing you toward a drop panel. It was such a beautiful tactical display. Everyone else in our group was like, and I'm sitting there going, it was awesome. Uncanny Valley still gets me uneasy every damn time.
Yeah. Paranoia is another theme that a lot of music videos deal with.
Yeah.
Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell would be one from our generation.
Yeah.
You know, and Disturbia by Rihanna, too.
Well, and it's very interesting to compare these two videos.
Mm-hmm.
Because Somebody's Watching Me doesn't really have any direct horror in it. All of it is implied.
Until the very end.
Until the very, very end.
Yes.
Until the very, very end of it. All of it's just implied.
Right.
Disturbia has horror images throughout.
Right. And Somebody's Watching Me goes back to that whole setting up the atmosphere and the unease without actually showing any horror.
Yeah.
It's all within your mind. It's all
and they
that
use
break.
And if you watch the video, these are a combination of very odd camera focal lengths.
Right.
The camera is always, it always feels wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The camera feels wrong. The angles feel wrong.
Right.
Everything feels weird in that video, even though it's perfectly normal stuff they're showing most of the time.
Well, and the thing is, you know, he goes around this house and he's getting scared by the stuff on the walls. But it's his house.
Yeah.
Why would you put stuff on the walls if you don't like it?
Well, unfortunately for Rockwell, we all have bad news. Nobody was watching you. That's all.
Oh, they were just hoping to see
Michael Jackson in the video somewhere, and he wasn't in the video.
No.
But yeah, Disturbia by Rihanna is a very interesting comparison because that one takes sort of the opposite approach.
Right.
Where it's horror footage throughout.
Yeah.
It's creepy, scary scenes, odd. Very, you know, impressionist angles everywhere.
Right.
Hard shadows, creepy figures, and more normal. Sort of, you know, it comes to a more normal head.
Right.
And it's very, very bizarre to compare those two, but you're right. They're both dealing with paranoia from very different angles.
Yeah.
Phobias are something that come up a lot in these.
Yeah.
The obvious classic there is Sex and Candy by Marcy's Playground.
Yeah.
Which was written... It's actually a very interesting video to watch in general.
Yes.
Because the video was written entirely based upon Freudian psychology.
I did not know that.
I actually learned that from Pop-Up Video. VH1 taught me this years ago. The whole video is based on Freudian psychology.
All right. Interesting.
And the use of phobias and sort of like the spider and all that, right. And the peeling.
Yeah.
And they use the wall instead of the skin, which right. would probably have been too hard for MTV at the
yeah.
time. But they made their point.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. And the result of that is a very, very creepy, very atmospheric video that right. Definitely seems out of sorts.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one, that's a really interesting idea to look at.
Right.
And of course you have just general horror elements that appear.
Right, and horror elements and the suspense and every, yeah. and atmosphere and everything. All of these that yeah. we've been talking about cover that. But we're going to throw in there The Cure's Lullaby.
Yeah, as a video to check out.
I actually had not heard about this one before. I'm sure Ellie has.
Oh, I'm sure Ellie has.
But, yeah, the Spider-Man cometh.
Well, and what I found particularly interesting by that one, and what uh-huh. I think could be useful in haunted attractions...
Right.
...is that was all shot within one room, more or less.
Right. It was in one room. There and, were lots of practical effects.
Yes. But what was interesting is, in one shot, you're in the room. You see it. It's a perfectly normal room. Next shot, they cut away. They show something a little bit creepy elsewhere. Then they cut back to the room, and something's changed a little bit.
Right.
The change happens very gradually over time.
Right.
Rather than all at once. And this is the type of thing, you know, we talk about Pepper's Ghost and so forth.
Right.
And the idea of things appearing and disappearing. This video does that just by using... these staggered shots
right.
and showing the room change and alter until, as you said, the Spider-Man
yeah.
have him.
Right. Yeah, and that's, it's very, it's actually very good for practical effects and for looking at it from a phobia standpoint and how people let their fears get the better of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we could totally play around with that in our industry.
Oh, yeah, and we do to some degree, I think. We really do. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why so many haunts have live snakes. There's a reason so many haunts use spiders and rats.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Bugs.
And bugs. And just also things like darkness and
yeah.
so on. We're all and fake heights and vertigo tunnels. And
yes.
You know, and the thing about it is this. It's like clowns.
Yeah.
Clowns do absolutely nothing to me.
No,
I grew up watching Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
I'm completely neutral on clowns. I never really liked Bozo.
Well, okay, so here's the thing about...
grand prize game was rigged.
Yeah. So here's the thing about clowns for me. When I was really little, like 5 or 6, my mom would always draw a clown on the mirror and write underneath it, "You are a..."
Mm-hmm.
Or above it, and
yeah.
then a picture of a clown.
Yeah.
So then I would have to go and wipe it off and say, "No, you're a," and draw my own clown. So clowns were funny and like a game. It wasn't something to be scared of. It was.
Yeah. But man, if you have a phobia of clowns, that is like.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because, you know, there are phobias I don't even think about. Like when we took Jen to 13th Gate.
Right.
Never dawned on me that there might be someone scared to death of elevators.
No. Never.
That didn't even cross my mind.
And it should have.
It should have, yes.
Because that
it
makes
totally
more sense
than being scared of clowns.
Well, no, because my roommate in college was scared of plants.
Yeah, so you're not going to hit every phobia, is what
yeah.
we're learning tonight, folks. Can't hit them all.
No.
But, yeah, so it's pretty interesting play there. But, I mean,
no.
I don't know. And the thing about... the lullaby, and especially when compared to like somebody's watching me
right.
and so forth, you see that buildup of suspense.
Yeah.
And both of those videos start with things that are perfectly normal.
Right.
But yet you instinctively know because of the way it's presented, the way it's shot, that something's wrong.
Yeah.
Just a little wrong.
Something's off.
And then it gets a little more wrong and a little more wrong,
yeah.
and then it keeps growing until things go really south.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I think some haunts have gotten... pretty good at is making the first few rooms of a haunted attraction feeling like a normal space, whatever that normal space might be, a living
right.
room, it could be, you know, an office, it could be just about anything, it could be just a normal place you'd feel comfortable in,
yeah,
but a little bit wrong, it's a little bit too dark, it's the furniture is a little askew, everything's wrong,
right,
but it's still normal ish
yeah,
you know what I mean, and then you grow and build upon that.
Right.
And you see this in a lot of video games, too, where the earlier levels, especially some of these horror video games, like some of the Resident Evil games did this,
mm-hmm.
where things were, well, not Resident Evil, the original one, that just started off with a zombie chomping your butt the split yeah. second you got control yeah. of it. I don't know how to point!
Oh, gosh. Darn.
I'm dead already. First screen, thanks.
Yeah.
But no. But some of the later ones figure that out.
Yeah.
That you need a little bit of ramp-up time for this.
Yeah.
So that's the type of thing that I think these do pretty well, and they do it within the confines of a 3 to 5 minute music video.
Right.
One thing they also do pretty well is they do homages to horror movies without any actual copying.
Right.
And that's really important because we constantly see homages to horror movies and
yeah
and I can't see the you can't hear the air quotes I'm doing here
yeah but
homages to horror films that are really just direct appropriation
right
and it's like I think it was the 13th Gate they did the a cabin
right
with and it was amazing setup beautiful storm outside great actors
yeah
but I'm like and of course, I'm thinking, oh, they're just playing off the classic trope of the horror-filled cabin.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. I love this. This is a lot of fun. And then I look, and there's the ghost trying to break through the chain in the floor yeah. in the basement. I'll swallow your soul, and there's a Necronomicon or
yeah.
over there. And it's like, oh.
Which isn't, you know, if it had been one or the other, so yeah. it had been less obvious instead of putting them yeah. right next to each other,
yeah.
I don't think it would have bothered us as much.
No. That would have just been a tip of the hat, all good sir.
Yeah. But taking it that extra step and putting two elements together so closely together in that type of environment makes it recognizable.
Yeah. And it goes from being fan service to being just
right
outright now, taking the scene.
Yeah. Now, 30 Seconds to Mars did a video called Bury Me.
Yeah.
And it actually does pay homage to The Shining.
Yes.
But it uses little elements, and then the story kind of takes a life of its own.
Yes.
And it completely goes in a different direction from the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long flipping time since I've seen The Shining. I've got to be completely straight here.
Yeah.
But I recognized immediately...
Yeah.
Some of the tiny set pieces from it.
Right.
Now
The twins,
and also the playing racquetball in the lobby. Or,
right.
Or not really racquetball, just throwing, you know, throwing the ball around the lobby.
Right.
Things like that, I recognize.
And the typewriter,
and
yeah.
the typewriter. I recognize these things from The Shining, but they were so small, and they were done differently.
Yeah.
In their own way. A, the hotel looked totally different.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they shot on site of the original.
But, I don't think they did, actually.
But
I'd have to go back and rewatch. I got to go back and rewatch The Shining to even comment on that, really.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, it has been far, far too long.
Yes. Well, I would love to go back and watch that again.
Yes, but it was. Movie. But like you said, they took it into a different direction, which
right.
is one of the reasons why, like you said in that one scene, one or the other,
right.
would have just been homage and would have been fine.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it seemed to go a very different direction.
Right. Yeah, it did. In fact, you could have one of the elements in a couple of rooms before.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of what this did was a, you know, it was clearly an homage, but not a ripoff.
And the thing about it is this, I don't mind including those homages as
right.
long as you're not yanking me out of the moment to, you know, experience a movie.
Yeah.
Which is something that really upsets me when they do that.
Yeah.
And that's something that gets very, very frustrating. Like, if they had just hidden the Necronomicon off
yeah.
to the side, I'm like, you clever bastards, you.
Right.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Or cause we hide crap in our haunt all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We especially love hiding crap from previous years.
Yes.
Previous year's theme.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure with this year's theme, we're going to have to hide... Some stuff from our psychiatrist theme, if we go the right way we're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We'll be talking more about our theme process maybe next episode. Maybe there'll be something to talk about next week.
Yeah, because we hashed out a lot last night.
Yeah, we hashed out a lot. We've got a few more details to go over and nail down.
Right.
We think we've got our theme, and we want to talk about the process of how we came up with it.
Yeah.
And other than the fact that it was one pizza and like eight beers, and we want to talk about the important stuff.
Yeah.
How we came up with our theme.
Yeah.
But yeah. And finally, and we've got to wrap this up now because we're running a little short on time.
All the obvious.
The obvious stuff. Set design, we've already talked about a great deal.
Right.
But they do make great use of color and props. In fact, that's something I want to go back and rewatch now, is I want to rewatch all these videos and take a look at the color palettes of all of them.
Right.
Because, like, Thriller did not have a distinct color palette. Its color palette was dark.
Right. Yeah.
If darkness were a color, it would look like Thriller, is what I'm saying.
Disturbia was mostly yellows and dingy looking.
Yellows and grays, I would say.
Yeah.
The Skrillex song was very, very gray-green.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. That's fair. Panic's Emperor's New Clothes was a hell scene, so it was red.
Yeah. Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time, though, was yellow-green because of the intoxication.
Right. Yeah.
So they used... Yeah,
that's kind of a rapey video.
Yeah, it's kind of nothing. It's just it. It's a great song, though. Though I have to say, the people that are doing Champagne and Cocaine probably aren't doing Gasoline.
Yeah, probably.
He just needed a rhyme. He's not fooling anyone there. But yeah, so it's very interesting to look at these palettes and how they literally paint the film. And that is something we can replicate and should replicate.
Right, because color does matter.
Yes. And color, by the way, can be done through lighting and paint.
Yes. Yes.
We don't have the option like they did of just applying a filter to everything.
Right. No. And we actually have painted some of our rooms stark white.
Yes.
And then just used colored bulbs to color them.
And yes, one of the best cheats we have found in this area for our broke and lazy butts is to get the color changing LED bulbs that you change with a remote.
Right.
Because they can be anything of like 100 damned colors or something like that. It's ridiculous, basically.
Yeah, and on Amazon, we found them for like $12 last year.
Yeah, so we bought like five of them to do these rooms in. And basically, we can just go through a haunt with one remote because they're all keyed to the same remote. And just immediately change the color and feel of any room with the tap of a button.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's really, really nice. And that way, if we're on, even like live, in between groups, like, okay, it's not working as a red room, make it a blue room.
Yeah.
Or something.
Or this is too dark, people are not able to
see the exit.
Let's switch it to a yellow.
Or turn up the intensity.
Yeah, because you can do
also
that
increase
with it
the
too.
Intensity. Yeah. Really, really cool. And finally, though, as we come full circle with music videos, the use of sound.
Yes, because what's, you know, a music video without it?
Well, obviously, but you have the song, and the song takes focus, so they don't put too much emphasis on the sounds, the sound effects, but they do all make use to some degree of screaming, screeching, metallic scraping,
sounds,
otherworldly
sounds, hissing,
growling.
Another popular one.
Yeah,
growling. Screaming would be Skrillex. Metallic sounds would be in Disturbia.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some really weird keyboard kind of sounds that are all distorted.
Yeah.
Distorted sounds.
And the groaning and moaning, that would be Thriller.
Right.
Obviously, the whole ambiance, that video's a...
Yeah.
I should have been a Thriller actor. The only problem is I was three when it was made. Oh, darn it.
You would have been a cute little zombie. Oh, God. Sometimes I do wish that this were videotaped.
Oh, man. But, yeah. But, no, it when you watch these videos, do take a moment to pay very close attention to that, because you know, since they're music videos, the focus has to be the song.
Right.
Any sound effects they're putting in there is important for one reason or another in setting the atmosphere and setting the fear and setting the horror.
Right. And a lot of these little sounds are background noises. And pay attention to those, because they're kind of cool if you pull them out.
They are things that we can use. I mean, you know, it's you know, you never want to be that haunt. We've done it before, but you don't want to be that haunt where the haunt sound design is nothing but a Midnight Syndicate CD put on the loudspeaker. I don't be that.
Yeah.
But
We understand if you have to, but try not to.
Try not to.
Because you can get cheap MP3 players and individual wireless speakers, plug them up in each room, and that's how we do our haunt now.
One thing we're slowly moving toward in our haunt is Bluetooth stuff. We've been buying up and slowly adopting Bluetooth as a format.
Yeah.
And I think...
obviously, this is for more of home haunters, not the big haunts with the big soundboards. And
yeah. But even if you do have the big soundboard, you have to think about what to put through it.
Well, yeah.
So, there you go. But anyways. So, yeah, that's a quick run-through of why we thought these videos were interesting, why they were worth talking about.
Right.
Honestly, though, like I said, what it comes down to for me is we're trying to find ways to introduce the new generation to haunting.
Right.
That's tough.
It is.
That's difficult. And it's getting more difficult. I mean, we're competing with more media out there. We're competing with more things to do, more games to play.
Right.
You know, mobile phones. Dear God, how do you wrestle a teenager's attention away from a mobile phone?
Yeah, especially if they have friends.
Oh, God. But the point remains, this is a potential medium that is great for doing exactly that, for introducing the love of haunting. It's a medium that works well on mobile devices. It works well with short media consumption.
Right.
And maybe a kid that doesn't necessarily want to sit down to a 90-minute horror flick will watch a Panic at the Disco music video and feel the same tingle that many of us felt when we saw our first horror movie or found our first horror moment.
Right.
That's my hope, at least.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to add?
No, I think we covered it.
I think we did pretty good. All right. Well, on that note, everyone, to wrap this up, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 29, about horror and music videos and what the haunted attractions can learn from it.
Yep.
Thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week. I don't do a good werewolf either.